Praise be Jesus and Mary. The first reading today comes from the second book of Maccabees and presents us with one of the Old Testament martyrs, Eleazar, who was a scribe and was 90 years old at the time of that God put him to the ultimate test. Eleazar, one of the foremost scribes, a man of advanced age and noble appearance, was being forced to open his mouth to eat pork. Okay, at that time, of course, that was against God's law. And they should have known that it didn't matter the exterior action forcing him to eat pork, because, of course, sin is a matter of the will. Okay, as long as he didn't consent with his will, it was useless of them to try and force him to eat it by shoving it into his mouth. But they did so anyway. But preferring a glorious death to a life of defilement, he spat out the meat and went forward of his own accord to the instrument of torture, as people ought to do who have the courage to reject the food which it is unlawful to taste, even for love of life. You see how God can put us to the ultimate test, whether we're willing to give up our lives rather than offend him. So how much more so when we're not asked to give up our lives, but we're just asked to perhaps mortify ourselves, okay? Mortify some pleasure, or hold back our anger, or endure the interior turmoil of some stress or impatience, rather than offend God by giving into it. Those in charge of that unlawful ritual meal took the man aside privately because of their long acquaintance with him, and urged him to bring meat of his own providing, such as he could legitimately eat, and to pretend to be eating some of the meat of the sacrifice prescribed by the king. Okay, this is what the commentators call wicked pity, right? They've got a good end in mind. They want him to save his life, you know, and they've got a natural affection for him from the good, the acquaintance they had with him. But they want him to fake that he was eating the unlawful meat, okay? And to give a bad example. In this way, he would escape the death penalty and be treated kindly by their old friendship with him. Right, so there's the temptation. Right? Not only does he have to withstand the threat of his life, but he's provided with the comfort of friends. But Eleazar made up his mind in a noble manner, worthy of his years, the dignity of his advanced age, the merited distinction of his gray hair, and of the admirable life he had lived from childhood. And so he declared that above all, he would be loyal to the holy laws given by God. All right, so we see those who were tempting him to eat the legitimate meat while pretending to eat the unlawful meat had a worldly prudence. But Eleazar, he's got a supernatural prudence. He told them to send him at once to the abode of the dead, explaining, "At our age it would be unbecoming to make such a pretense. Many young people would think the 90-year-old Eleazar had gone over to an alien religion." Right? So he's thinking about the bad example that he would be giving. He would have to render an account for that bad example. Remember, on Sunday, we talked about one of the reasons for the general judgment, okay, the final judgment, is a result of the bad example that we have given and left behind. Should I thus pretend for the sake of a brief moment of life, they would be led astray by me, while I would bring shame and dishonor on my old age. Even if, for the time being, I avoid the punishment of men, I shall never, whether alive or dead, escape the hands of the Almighty. This was another thing we considered on Sunday, right? The book of Ecclesiasticus that says, if man keep his end in mind, he shall never sin. Right? And that is what Eleazar is doing. He's keeping in mind that he must stand before the judgment of Almighty God. Okay, whether alive or dead, he cannot escape the hands of Almighty God. Right? You see, this is the wisdom of the just. Right? Eleazar is a virtuous man, and therefore he has the ability to reason correctly with a supernatural prudence, not with a natural prudence. Yesterday we saw the breakers of the law, okay, became foolish in their reasoning, but not Eleazar, because he's an obeyer of the law of God. And so he still possesses wisdom as the elderly should, right? There's nothing more sad than someone arriving at the age of 90 and still being caught up in vice, okay, and error. Right? As they say, there's no fool like an old fool. Therefore, by manfully giving up my life now, I will prove myself worthy of my old age, and I will leave to the young a noble example of how to die willingly and generously for the revered and holy laws. Eleazar spoke thus, and went immediately to the instrument of torture. Those who shortly before had been kindly disposed now became hostile toward him, because what he had said seemed to them utter madness. Right? Because they are fools, and so they don't see the wisdom of his reasoning. And we also see here the fickleness of men. Right? These men who were shortly beforehand promising him their friendship, how quickly they turn and change their minds. How foolish would it have been to offend God, seeking out the consolation of their friendship? Because the friendship of men can change like the wind. When he was about to die under the blows, he groaned and said, "The Lord in his holy knowledge knows full well that, although I could have escaped death, I am not only enduring terrible pain in my body from this scourging, but also suffering it with joy in my soul because of my devotion to him." You see that? How notwithstanding the physical pain, interiorly, okay, God is never outdone in generosity. And so he granted his faithful servant joy in spirit, the joy that this world cannot give. This is how he died, leaving in his death a model of courage and an unforgettable example of virtue, not only for the young, but for the whole nation. And he's left an example for all of us, right? Even to our own age, he's still an example. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.